Well, what's up, Central? We want to welcome everyone who's watching online. Thank you so much for taking time to connect with us today. We also want to give a big hello to our Creston campus. We're excited and pumped up to hear all the great things that God is doing in you and through you down in Creston, and we can't wait to see what's going to happen in a few weeks. If you've got a Bible, grab it, open it, turn it on. 1 Peter 2 is where we're going to start, and we are going to jump around a lot today. We just finished up a series. We finished up a series called Bouncing Forward, and we were talking about grace and how grace carries us into the next season. Today, we're starting a new series that builds on that. It's called Growing Together. As we talk about next steps, and we talk about that a lot around here, and we talk about next steps, and we talk about bouncing forward, what does that practically look like? And that's the point of this series. The goal of this series is to break down some practical next steps and offer you opportunities. And as we offer you opportunities, we're going to come alongside of you and walk with you. And so this series, Growing Together, is going to be how do we grow in Christ? How do we grow individually in Christ? How do we grow as a church in Christ? Like if we're going to tell you all the time, if we're going to say Christianity is simply a series of next steps, because we say that all the time, right? We believe that we're on a journey, that we're walking with Jesus, and we can't walk with Jesus if we're not taking steps. And so Christianity really is a series of just next steps. But what do those steps look like, especially the initial steps? I told you last week that all of our next steps look different. Like my next step looks different than yours. Your next step looks different than mine. Our next steps look different, but at some point, don't miss this, at some point, we all take similar steps. Does that make sense? Like there are just some things that after Jesus saves us, as we grow, there are things that we just naturally begin to do, and we all do those things. And today isn't going to be so much a sermon as it is a teaching. All right? If you want a sermon, come back next week. In fact, today's going to be one of those family talks. You know what I'm talking about? A couple of times a year, it seems, we just kind of put the brakes on or where we go, and we just kind of catch up with where we think like we need to be, and we kind of look back at the basics. And today is that day. We're going to use 2 Peter 3:18 as a theme verse for this entire series. It says this: "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now and forever." Right? Look at that again. But grow. Right? This is an expectation of us, that we wouldn't just sit and we wouldn't just stay the same and we wouldn't just be stagnant, but we would grow. And how do we grow? We grow in the grace. There's that word grace again that we spent 5 weeks talking about. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now and forever. And so the question that we have to look at this morning, that we kind of have to throw out there at the beginning, is how? How do we grow? Now within that, because that's a good question, within that, to expand on that, we need to look at something Peter said earlier as he described this thing called discipleship. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now at the end of chapter 1, he's talking about being holy, about following Jesus in every area of our lives. That's what he's telling us to do. And so verse 1 starts out like this: Therefore, do everything that I told you, right? Therefore, be holy, every area of your life, submit to Jesus, all of that. And then rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Look at this. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up. You see that? Here's the whole theme, right? You may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, one of the things that we've got to understand as a body of believers is growing up, this discipleship, is not a program. It's a process. Like discipleship is not a program. It's a process. You did not become the follower of Jesus that you are today because you followed a particular program. It's important for you to know that. Like seriously. It's not because you followed a particular program. Because listen, discipleship isn't like microwave popcorn. You know, like microwave popcorn, you take the bag, and you put it in the microwave, and you push the button, and then like 3 minutes later or whatever, I don't even know how long it takes, but a few minutes later, you have popcorn. It's fast, right? That's microwave popcorn. Discipleship isn't like that. discipleship isn't fast. Discipleship is a process. See, one of the most confusing things about church, when I first got into church, was how somebody could attend church for 5, 10, 15, 20 years and never change. Like, never change. That confused the heck out of me. Like, how could somebody be in church for 5, 10, 15, 20 years and, like, never change? Let me set it up like this. There was a time in my life that I went through a gym phase. Just one time. That was it. One time I went through a gym phase. I used to work out at a place in Brownsburg, Indiana, called Lifetime Fitness. And for six months, man, I was diehard. I was in there every single day. Now, if you work out at a gym every day, you understand that usually the same people come in at the same time every day. I was an early afternoon guy. I would go to work, and then I would get off work, and I would go in, and I would work out. There was a guy that used to come into the gym every day. Now listen, for six months, I watched this man. Actually, he was there before I got there. He would be there the entire time that I was there. He would be there when I left. I actually thought at one time that he worked there. Like, legit, I thought that he was an employee. I later found out that his pattern was he would get there at noon and he would stay till 5:30. He literally spent 5.5 hours in the gym every day. But here's the kicker. He never worked out. Ever. I never saw him on a treadmill. I never saw him on an elliptical. I never saw him lift a single weight. All he did was walk from person to person and talk. Sit down, read the paper. He never worked out. And so in 6 months, there was never any visible sign that this guy ever went to the gym. Nobody ever probably looked at him and went, "Whoo, you've been working out?" Like, I know that's probably not nice to say, but it's true. Even though, don't miss this, follow this along. Even though he had been to the gym every single day, you couldn't tell that he had ever been to the gym. Reminds me of some church people I know. Again, one of the most confusing things about church, when I first got into church, was how somebody could attend church every week for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years and never change. Like, never change. They were the same mean, greedy, self-centered person 20 years later that they were when they first started attending church. And then I finally realized, and I've taught you this before, that there's a difference. There's a difference between attending church and actually following Jesus. And so, during this series, as we talk about our next steps, it's important to remember, Jesus didn't come with a command, right? But an invitation. And that invitation was to do what? It was to follow me, right? Just follow me. It was that simple. And as we take our next steps, most of the time, as we're following Jesus and he's calling us into being more like him, most of the time they aren't easy and they're usually uncomfortable. But that's life, right? That's everything we do in life. In life, there are many things that we do, like dieting, right? Like going on a diet. Many things we do that are hard. And we might hate the process. We might hate the process of dieting, but man, we love the results. Yes or no? Yes. It's the same thing with following Jesus. We may not want to always follow Jesus. Heck, it's easier to not follow Jesus most days. You've never heard a pastor say that, right? Seriously, it's easier to not follow him most day, but we love the results when we do. And as we follow Jesus on a consistent basis, knowing that it's difficult, knowing that it's going to be hard, knowing that there are going to be days that are absolutely impossible, but as we take our next steps with him, we should change and grow. So, all of that to set up today. Because today I want to talk about the fact that one of the things that I've discovered about Jesus personally and through reading the Bible is this. If you're not changing, you're not walking with Jesus. That's a really hard statement to say, and it's probably a really difficult statement to hear. And automatically, I know you want to argue with it. I am walking with Jesus. Listen. If you're not walking with Jesus, if you're not changing, you're not walking with Jesus, because you and I cannot walk with Jesus and stay the same. We can't. You and I cannot walk with Jesus and stay the same. If you and I are walking on a consistent basis with Jesus, he's going to be changing something in us, around us, and through us. And it doesn't matter if you've only been following him for a week or for 50 years. If you're walking with Jesus, he's changing something in you, around you, and through you. Now, let me kind of talk about this for a second. The Apostle Paul, right, we all know the Apostle Paul, right? If we were going to rank top three Christians of all time, like Paul would be up there in the top three, right? You would say that. I mean, if you're ranking them, Peter, Paul, and James, like somewhere in there is Paul. Let's just go with Paul. So Paul, let's say he's one of the top three, because he pulled off some incredible stuff. And in fact, he did a lot of stuff that most of us have never done, let alone see. Like, for example, Paul brought people back from the dead. Like, dude, you think I'm long-winded sometimes? In Acts chapter 20, Paul was preaching one night, and he was so long-winded, a dude fell out the window and died. And Paul went downstairs and brought him back to life, then continued to preach all night long, which, if you bring somebody back from the dead, you can do that. You can preach as long as you want. I've never done that, so I'm not going to preach long. But Paul did that. Paul saw Jesus face to face. Acts chapter 9, he's on the road to Damascus. He's on his way to kill Christians, to destroy the church, do all these things. And Jesus shows up, bam, changes his life. Meet Jesus face to face. Paul healed people. I mean, Paul pulled off some amazing things. And so if anybody had achieved the level of spirituality where they didn't have to grow anymore, it would probably be the Apostle Paul. We would all probably agree with that. Yes or no? Yes. This is why it's so fascinating for me when I'm reading through the book of Philippians. And I get to chapter 3, verse 10. It says this. Now keep in mind, this is the Apostle Paul, the guy who raised people from the dead, the guy who healed people, who saw Jesus face. He's the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul. I'm going to say that a bunch. Look at this. I want to know Christ. Hold on. You're Paul. You're Paul. I mean, you brought people back from the dead. You healed people. You saw Jesus face to face. You're Paul. And right here, the Apostle Paul writes, I want to know Christ. Translation for us. If Paul felt like he didn't know Jesus like he needed to know Jesus, then probably all of us need to say the same thing. Yes or no? Yes. Look at this. I want to know Christ. Then he says this, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Now look at this. Look at this. Look at this. This is Paul. This is Paul. Verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this. Dude, you're Paul. The Apostle Paul. Like, you have done all of these things. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Paul said, yes, I'm walking with Jesus, and as I press on with Jesus, he's changing me and he's conforming me to be more like him. And then look at this. This is amazing. Brothers, I do not consider myself to yet have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. This is huge. And there's probably like three messages inside of this verse right here. Forgetting what is behind. But the point I want to make today is this. Paul is saying, I've had some experience with God that have absolutely blown my mind, but I'm forgetting those and I'm pressing on because I want to know him more. The translation, growing people change. We change. As we follow Jesus and we grow in Christ, he changes us. And then he says this, forgetting what is behind and straining. Everybody say straining. Straining. In other words, there's some effort here. Don't miss that. Because this is where people say, well, I'm not growing in my relationship with Jesus. What kind of effort are you putting into it? I'm not really doing anything. That's the problem. Straining. Straining is what the Apostle Paul says. The Apostle Paul is not sitting back and saying, well, I'm just waiting for God to move in my life. No, he says, I'm putting in effort, straining for what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Again, growing people change. As we grow in Christ, we are going to change. Now, since paper outlines are available in-house this weekend, I have lots of blanks. I'm about to cover 8 things that I believe that you and I can practically do to grow in our faith with the Lord. Now, let me say this. The 8 things that I'm about to share with you have nothing to do with God's love for you. Nothing. Listen, God's love for me, God's love for you, God's love for us is not based on our performance. It's based on Jesus Christ paying for our sins on the cross. You don't have to do any of these things to get God to love you. In fact, I would say that God's love for us is never in question. It's usually our love for him, right? It's usually us. It usually falls on us. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to unpack 8 things that we can practically do if we want to experience change on a consistent basis. We're going to take lots of notes, and we're going to go really fast. All right, here we go. Number 1, read your Bible. Actually, read your Bible and do what it says. Read your Bible, do what it says. Now, I should go on to number 2 right here, but I'm going to stop and walk through this. Because listen, it's amazing to me the number of people in the church that claim they want to hear God's voice but will never open up God's word. Mind-blowing. I want to hear God speak. I want to hear God speak. Are you reading the word? Nope, I'm just waiting for him to speak. Read your Bible. You want to hear God speak? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Do what it says. If we want to really grow in our faith with Jesus, we've got to understand who God is. And let me say this. You and I cannot fully understand who God is if we're not reading his word. We just can't. We cannot fully understand who God is unless we're reading his word. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word, that's the Bible, right? That's God's word. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. A lamp to my feet and a light to my path. A lamp to my feet, a light to my path. A lamp and a light. God's word is a lamp and a light. It's not just giving us direction. It's focusing our direction on who God is. And so if you really, 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 really want to grow in your faith, begin to read your Bible and do what it says. Now, I know there are objections here. I got it because I've been there. I know them all, seriously. People say, I don't have time. Man, you got time. You got all kinds of time. 5 minutes a day, you don't have 5 minutes a day for God. 10 minutes a day, you can't carve out some time to open up God's word. You say you want to hear from God, but then you want to tell God that you're too busy. Come on now. Or how about this one? Brian, I want to read. I just don't know where to start reading in the Bible. Okay, I get that one. That's legit. Some people say, I want to start reading in Genesis. That's great. Read Genesis. Leviticus is going to freak you out if you've never read the Bible. I'm just going to let you know. Like, it's going to freak you out. They start killing goats and bulls, and people are freaking out. It is crazy. I'm telling you, I wouldn't recommend that. Some people say, well, I'm going to start in the book of Revelation. I'm reading Revelation. And then they can't sleep at night. Like, I don't even know that. Like seriously, people ask me, what does the book of Revelation mean? This is what the book of Revelation means. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's coming back. That's it. Like, that's all I know. All right? That's it. So, where to start? Where do I start? I would suggest the book of John. And then I would suggest you get a Bible reading plan. You can go to like uversion.com. Lots of reading plans there. They're absolutely incredible. We would put one out, but why would we reinvent the wheel when uversion has all these different things, all this different stuff that you can do? Use that. Now, if you don't have a Bible, and listen, this is legit. If you do not have a Bible, this is not like I've got 7 in my car and 8 in my house and I can't find any of them. This is if you legitimately do not have a Bible, we will give you one. Just ask. Send us an email. When you come in, we'll have one ready for you. A Bible. Like, we want you to have a Bible. We stand on the Word of God. Everything we do is the Word of God. All of our teaching is the Word of God. We want you to have one. And I'm telling you, if you want to grow in your faith, listen, I'll just say this and move on. I don't know one single person that's walking with Jesus on a consistent basis that's not in his word on a daily basis. Seriously, I don't know one single person that's walking with Jesus on a consistent basis that's not in his word daily. Read your Bible, do what it says. Number two, life groups. Life groups. Get involved in a life group. Our life groups are relaunching this week. We have some. We want to add more. In fact, you got a connection card. Go to your digital connection card and mark, I'm interested in joining a life group. Or send us an email. I'm interested in joining a life group. You say, well, I've looked at your life group list. There isn't one I like. Or there's not a night that I can make it. We'll start one. In fact, if you would like to be a life group leader, mark that on your digital connection card or send us an email. We're looking for people to lead some new life groups. That doesn't mean you will be a leader. We'll talk through it and we'll make sure you can handle it. But life groups. Life groups are super important here at Central Church. We want you involved in a life group. That's a way that we change and grow. Life groups, get involved. Number three, baptism. By the way, these are in no particular order. So if you're like, okay, I got to do these eight things in this order, they're not in any real order. Number three is baptism. I want to say this and move on because people always want to know, where does Central stand on this? Baptism does not save you. Baptism doesn't save you. It identifies you with Jesus. Listen, the first thing that Jesus commands, and let me stop real quick and say this. Jesus has never asked anyone to do anything. He is Almighty God. When he speaks, he's not requesting. He's not asking. He's commanding. And the first thing Jesus commands the people when they follow him is to identify with him through a public ceremony called baptism. As a matter of fact, this is what the Bible says in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. It says this, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So if you're a follower of Jesus, that means that Jesus has all authority in your life. What that means is whatever he says start doing, you start doing it. Whatever he says stop doing, you stop doing it. He has all authority. And so if you're on board with that, and you should be, the first thing that he asks us to do in verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. And then what happens when someone is made a disciple? Look at this. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The first thing Jesus said to do is to be baptized. Now, baptism in the Bible is after salvation by immersion. There is no other example. There are 27 references to baptism in the New Testament. Every reference to baptism is after salvation by immersion. And so, if you were saved last week, if you prayed to receive Jesus last week, and you say, well, Ryan, I've already been baptized. Do I need to be rebaptized or I don't need to be rebaptized? Listen. If you were baptized before you met Jesus, all you were was a wet sinner. That's it. You need to follow through in baptism. Now, this is where we get all of the pushback. People go, well, my family will get mad, and I don't want to upset my family. Listen, if you come from another tradition, I completely get that. But Jesus said this. Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace but a sword, and I will divide the family. Now, there's a whole lot in that verse that we aren't going to unpack right now. But, you have to decide, do I want to honor my parents more or do I want to honor Jesus more? Now, I'm not talking to teenagers because teenagers, you're called to honor your mom and dad. Listen to mom and dad, teenagers. That's what you have to do. I'm talking to people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s that don't want to get baptized because they don't want to make mama mad. Who did you agree to follow? Mama or Jesus? Baptism is a command. You need to be baptized. And so on your connection card, there's a box that says, I would like to be baptized. You fill that out. Or you send us an email, and we will contact you about the next service times that we will be doing baptism. Listen, this is not something you pray about. This is something that you do. Jesus clearly commanded it in the word. Baptism. Baptism. Number four, commitment to the local church. Commitment to the local church. Notice I did not say church once a month. I said commitment to the local church. This is through regular church attendance. The idea and the notion that you can follow Jesus on a consistent basis without being involved in a church goes against 2,000 years of church history and hundreds of verses of scripture. You and I are called to regular church attendance and to belong to a local church. In fact, the Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You and I are called to be involved in a church and attend on a regular basis. And so where are you going to go? Where are you going to, if it's not this church, there needs to be one that you go to. Like, where are you going to plug in and attend? Now, let me kind of hit a couple of things, because a lot of people will have excuses about this. One of the big ones that we hear around here, people look at a church like Central and say, well, it's getting too big. It's just, I can't keep coming because it's just too big. Just real quick question. I'm going to say this and I'll move on. Who really wants to keep the church small? Jesus or Satan? Just asking. Like, think about it like this. You want your bank account to grow, don't you? Like, you've never looked at your bank account and went, oh my gosh, I'm a little concerned about my bank account. It's getting way too big. You've never said that. You know why? Because money is valuable to you. You know what's valuable to Jesus? People. Souls. Right? And so when a church grows, that means the kingdom is growing because they're focused on evangelism. The only people that want the church to remain small are the people that do not have the things of God in mind. Listen, if you keep running around and saying, church is too big, I'm not going to go because church is too big, I don't know everybody, it tells me two things about you. Number one, you're not in a group. And number two, you don't volunteer. And so I would say the church is called to grow larger and smaller at the same time. Like, think about this. Point number two was what? Life groups, right? Life groups. Involvement. I'll go ahead and give you the last one. The last one's going to be serve. If you're not plugged into a life group, I would recommend today that you get plugged into a life group. That's one of the ways that you make sure that the church for you is not too big. Another one of the things that we hear around Central, because we do series a lot, and a lot of times we'll put out on Facebook and the message title will go out, and we'll hear during a particular series, like, I've literally heard this. People will say, I know what the message is going to be today, and so I don't need to go. Let me say this, as your pastor, and I love you, I do, but I'm going to say this unapologetically but very directly. It is arrogant to assume that you know what God's Holy Spirit is going to do in your life through the preaching of His Word because you know a sermon title? Really? Man, we have done messages here at Central on tithing, and people have gotten saved. What God does through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of His Word, is unbelievable. That's why I would say that you and I are called to gather together regularly, regular church attendance. Listen, I don't know anyone that's really walking with Jesus that's not going to church regularly. I'm telling you, regular church attendance grows our faith in Jesus, and it grows us as individuals. Number five, again, these aren't in any particular order. Number five, confession and repentance. Confession and repentance. Now, one of the things I say often around here, one of the things you can count on is Jesus coming after your heart. Jesus is coming after my heart. He's coming after your heart. Like one of the things the Bible is very clear. Let me read this to you. It's in Ezekiel chapter 14. I want you to see this. Look at this. The Bible says this. Some of the elders, like this is Ezekiel the prophet talking. Some of the elders came to me and sat down in front of me. This would be equivalent to going to church because the prophet would declare the word of God to them. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, these men have set up idols in their heart. That's what he's after. Like, God's after our hearts. God's not after our behavior. He's after our hearts. They've set up idols in their hearts and put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. Should I let them inquire of me at all? Then he says this. Therefore, speak to them and tell them this is what the sovereign Lord says. When any Israelite sets up idols in his hearts and puts a wicked stumbling block before his face and then goes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him myself in keeping with his great idolatry. I will do this to recapture the hearts of the people of Israel who have all deserted me for their idols. Here's the translation. If there's an idol in your heart and you go to church, the only thing you're going to hear the pastor say is something that has to do with your idol. This is where, like people come to church, and it doesn't matter what church. We're just going to talk about Central Church because this is the church I know best. People will come, and they will leave, and they will say, I'm never going back. All Ryan ever talks about is having sex with your boyfriend. That's probably because that's what you're doing. Seriously. I ain't never coming back. All Ryan ever talks about is money. It's probably because I attacked your idol. Like, I never hardly ever talk about money. Seriously. But you're upset because that's what you hear. All Ryan ever talks about is serving. It's because time is your idol. You will always, don't miss this, you will always scream when a sore spot is hit spiritually. And so, just an observation. This is just what I've seen. When a person begins to scream and complain about what a church is always talking about, you know what I mean? They're always talking about it. All he ever talks about. They're not necessarily slamming the church and talking bad about the church. They're just simply exposing their heart. Listen, you will always scream when a sore spot is hit spiritually. Jesus is after our heart. He is after our heart. Not necessarily our behavior, our heart. And so the real question that we need to ask ourselves here is, what is there in your life that's between you and Jesus that you need to confess to God and maybe to others and repent of? Because listen, Jesus is going to change our attitude. He's going to change our heart. He's going to change our motivation. And if those things aren't changing, then we're not confessing and repenting. And if we're not confessing and repenting, we're not truly following Jesus. What is it in your heart today that he's coming after? Only you can answer that question for you. Only you can answer that. Confession and repentance. Number six, I love this one, giving. Let's talk about giving for a second. All you ever talk about is money. No, I don't. I don't. But Jesus had some stuff to say about it. Actually, he said quite a few things. He said this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. He said, for where your treasure is, you know this verse, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, right? And we said Jesus is coming after our what? Our hearts, right? And so in other words, you can't say that you're truly a follower of Jesus if you're not giving your money to him. And by the way, this is talking about tithing. It's talking about offerings. Tithing is 10% to the house. Well, I don't believe that you got to give your money to the church. The only problem with that philosophy is the Bible. It is. We'll talk about that more another time. Verse 24, he says this. No one can serve two masters. In other words, you got to pick which team you're going to root for. That's what he's saying. Now remember, this is Jesus saying this. This is Jesus. It's not Pastor Ryan. Don't get mad at me. This is Jesus. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Then he says this. You cannot. Everybody say cannot. Cannot. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus said, this is Jesus. Jesus said, the number one competitor for our worship isn't the devil. Because that's what I would have said. I would have been like, you got to choose team God or team devil. Jesus said, you cannot serve both God and money. Translation, money is the number one competitor for your heart. And so I would say this. If you haven't learned to faithfully give to God, then you haven't learned how to faithfully follow Him. If you haven't learned to faithfully give to God, then you haven't learned how to faithfully follow Him. For God so loved the world, He gave. He gave. If you're going to be like Jesus, you're not a taker, you're a giver. So number six is giving. Number seven is sharing. Sharing Jesus. Sharing Jesus will grow your faith. I'm telling you, you and I will grow as we share our faith. One of the greatest things as a Christian that you can do is talk to other people about the amazing things that God is doing in you and through you and around you, and telling people how Jesus Christ has changed your life. It's one of the greatest parts of being a Christian is talking about the change He's made in you and then watching Him do that same change in other people. Look what Paul said here to Philemon, verse 6. He says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. Active. Active. That means we do it. Active. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. Why? Look at this. So that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. I think, and this is just me, this is my opinion. I think the reason a lot of people don't fully understand what we have in Jesus is because they've never tried to explain it to someone else. We'll talk about that more in a few weeks. Let me finish this up. Last but not least, number eight, serving. 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 This is an important one. Let me read this text to you. Luke 22, verse 19, the Bible says this about Jesus. And He took bread. This is the communion section. He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, He took a cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant. It is in my blood, which is poured out for you. Let's stop. How in the world can we look at a God who sent His Son, that gave His body and blood, who called us, who gifted us, who equipped us and empowered us, and actually look at Him and say, yeah, sorry, dude, I can't give you an hour of my time. Really? Really? I mean, come on. Seriously. And so in light of what Jesus gave to us, listen, this is what we're asking. What can you give? What can you give? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve. You see this? Whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace, that thing we talked about for 5 weeks in various forms. That's what the Bible says. So one of the ways that we grow, and I think this is one of the biggest ways that we grow, is we serve. We're called to serve. I'm telling you, you're called to serve. Whether it's inside this church, whether it's outside the church, whether it's another church that you're involved in, you are called to serve. You're called to serve people. We are all called to serve people. We're not requested to serve. We're called to serve. And listen. Don't miss this. We can offer excuses all day long. We can't. We can offer excuses of why we can't do it. I don't got time. I got to do this. And I got to do that. And I volunteer over here for sports, and I do this. I mean, we can wear ourselves out with excuses. But one of these days, we're going to stand face to face with a God who has fire in His eyes. And I just wonder, if the excuse you're giving to the church will be sufficient to a holy and awesome God. I'm just asking. Because we're called to serve. We're called to serve. Let me tell you why I'm so passionate about this. Because I know something about you. I'm your pastor, and I love you. But I know that you will never become the person God wants for you to be until you begin to start serving somewhere. Seriously. You will never become the person God wants you to be until you start serving somewhere. Listen. I'm not saying that because I want something from you. I don't want anything from you. But I want everything for you. And don't miss this. You don't have to volunteer in this church. Like, that's fine. Church is going to go on. But listen, I know what it's like to serve. I know what it has done for me in my life. And I know this for you. Until you're serving Jesus on a consistent basis, you're not growing. you're not developing. I don't want for you to not be who God has called you to be. He has called you. He has gifted you. He has empowered you. And you are too important to do nothing. So step up. Step up and do what God has called you to do. Serve. I want you to grow in Christ. I do. I want you to grow in Christ. I want us to grow in Christ together. And you cannot, we cannot get there without serving. So, as we bounce forward, and as we begin to grow together, these eight things are going to be huge for us as individuals and a church. So will you step up? Will you step up and begin to do that? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that in your word it is so clear that we are called to follow you. And as we follow you, Jesus, as we follow you, you change us. God, I am so thankful that your love for us is not a question, that we don't have to do any of these eight things that we talked about to get you to love us. But if we love you, we will follow you. And if we follow you, we will be changed. And so, God, right now I pray for each person here, each person watching, God, that we would submit our lives to you. I pray, God, that there is somebody watching that does not know you, that before this day is over, they will come to know you. God, I pray for those of us who do know you, that we will take the steps you direct us to take in order to follow you, in order to be changed, in order to become the people that you're calling us to be. God, that we would allow you to come into our lives and just rearrange whatever needs to be arranged. And Jesus, help us to completely sell out to you on a consistent basis. Thank you, Jesus, so much. We love you and we praise you. We ask all of this in your name. Amen. Church, thank you so much for joining us. If there's anything that we can do for you to help you, please reach out. If we can help you in any of these eight things, if there's anything that you need, send us an email, info@yourcentralchurch.com. We're here for you. We're here to help you. Thank you so much for joining us. God bless you and have a wonderful week.